Tonight, and we're going to look at Zechariah 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through verse 10. Zechariah 3, verses 1 through 10. Let me go ahead and read it to you, and then we'll get into the message. I've preached this text before, but it's been years. I couldn't believe that I'd missed it this long as far as preaching on it, because I've always liked this particular text. It's a wonderful text of Scripture to preach from. But we'll go ahead and read it, and then we'll get into it. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest. Now, don't get this confused with the other Joshua. Joshua, the son of Nun, it's not the same Joshua. But this was Joshua the high priest. The high priest, of course, one of the things he was over the temple worship. That's what he would do. He was in charge of that kind of worship. So don't get the two Joshuas confused. So he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Everybody say filthy garments. And stood before the angel and answered and said unto him, those that stood before him, saying, "Take away the filthy garments from him." And unto him he said, "Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment," which is a picture of salvation. It's a wonderful picture of salvation. And I said, "Let them set a fair mitre upon his head," so that they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by, and the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, and thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by." Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the what? The branch. Y'all remember who the branch is? That's Jesus. "I'll bring forth my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. And behold, I will engrave the engraving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove," now watch this one too, verse 9, "I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. And in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree." So let's have another word of prayer, and we'll get in our text. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for these people this evening that's come out to this meeting. And Father, we're thankful for the faithfulness that they show in coming out to the house of the Lord. And Father, we pray that there be an end of this thing. We know that you're in charge of everything, and we don't question. But Father, we pray that there be an end to this so that we can get our people back and things. And Father, we pray for our nation. And we pray that you would move among our nation, the people of our nation, that they would come to a saving knowledge of you. And Father, we pray that we would have a great revival in this land, and people would see a need. People would see a need of having Christ as their Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. All right, we're going to work down through this text, and I've preached from it in the times past, as I told you. I've preached on it several different times, but it's been a while, and I haven't touched it for a number of years. And what I wanted to do today is to share it with you because it's such a lovely text. It preaches good when you look at it. It really got some wonderful statements in it, and I think you'll like it, and I pray that the Lord would bless you with it. Now, again, don't get the Joshua's confused. This is Joshua the high priest, not Joshua the son of Nun. But let's go ahead and move into it. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord. And of course, you see the Lord's in four caps, and that's the word Jehovah whenever that's used that way. So he's standing standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan is standing at his right hand to resist. He's standing there to resist him. That's what he's showed to do in the particular text. He's always tries to cause problems, right? He seeks to cause things not to go as God's people sometimes want them to go. So that's what it's presented here. You have Satan is standing at his right hand, and he's seeking to resist Joshua the high priest. Now, of course, the high priest of Israel, what do? They offered the sacrifices. And especially on the Day of Atonement, they offered the sacrifices for that particular year. And all the time at the temple, there was sacrifice offered every morning and every evening. You can go back and look at all of these things. And the offering, what was the purpose of all these offerings? They pictured Jesus. They pictured Jesus. That's why he has these in here, is because that's why they had the temple as a place of sacrifice. And there was constantly blood being shed. Constantly blood being shed. And which is a picture of what again? It pictures Jesus. Yeah, his blood was shed for us. And if he hadn't shed his blood for me, and then I would have no hope. And that would be true of everybody here, wouldn't it? Jesus, I'm thankful for him, ain't you? What would we do without the substitutionary death of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus? What would we do without that? And beloved, I'm so grateful for that this evening. And that's what he done for us. He provided his own son to pay a debt that we could not pay ourselves. And that debt was paid by Jesus Christ. And he paid the debt in full. He paid the debt in full. And when the Lord saves a sinner, that debt is indeed paid in full. So that's a wonderful place to be. So you have Joshua, and what was he here? He was a high priest. And what did the high priest, he was really over the temple, really. But one of the main reasons why he was made the high priest was so that he could, for the Day of Atonement, the great Day of Atonement, every year, he would offer a goat and for the people. A goat and I done forgot the other one. Y'all remember? Huh? I didn't hear you. I still can't hear you. Yeah, a bullock and a goat. He done both of these. And the purpose of that was to do what? It pictured what Jesus, all these sacrifices, the purpose of them was to picture Christ. So throughout the Old Testament, when you went to the temple, what you saw was what? Blood, blood, blood everywhere. So that's what you see. Now let's move on. Now Satan standing at his right hand, he was standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that chose Jerusalem rebuke thee. Now, I love this part in verse 2. He says right here, is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now, what's that refer to? Well, that's what he does when he saves your soul. If it hadn't been for Jesus, where we went? If we never had a substitute for our sins, what would have happened? Well, we are brands that's been plucked out of the fire. Oh, God's people say it. He plucked us right out. And did I deserve that? And did you deserve that? No, but he plucked you right out of the fire. And I'm thankful for that. Beloved, hell's a horrible thing. Hell's a horrible thing. It's real. It's real. And people use it as a byword all the time, and it's horrible to do that. Hell's a real place, and it's a place that people do indeed go. I tell you, as a pastor, I've been pastoring 40 years, but as a pastor, the hardest thing in the world is when someone dies, and then sometimes people will come to you and they'll say, Jeff, will you do the service of so-and-so here? Will you do the service of this person here? And I always do them. I really do, unless something's, unless I can't for some reason. But I always have do them. But, beloved, what do I ask them when I talk to the family? Did they trust Christ? That's what it comes down to, right? Amen. Did they trust Jesus? You know, a lot of times when you go to a funeral, everybody in the world goes to heaven. Did you ever notice it? Everybody in the world goes. But no, they don't. If they've never trusted the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, they didn't make it. I've had people say, well, you think he made it? And I just say, I don't know whether he did or not. I've talked to him before, and I've told the gospel to him, and that's all I can do, unless he got saved before he died. But that's all I know. All I can tell you is I told him. All I can tell you is I told him. And that's what you should do. You tell him. And then you ask him, hey, and you should ask. I think you should call for a decision after you present the gospel to people. I think you should say, listen, I presented the gospel to you. Have you received it? Have you trusted it? Have you put your hope in Jesus? Have you done it? You ask him. I don't know if this is, I'm sure it's happened to you before, but there was a time, and I grieved over this awful. But I was going to witness to somebody, and I put it off, and I'd been working on him, and I thought, well, I got time to do this with him. He died like the next day. How about that? Now, I realize the Lord's in charge of everything. Don't get me wrong. But we have a responsibility to share the message with lost people. Y'all agree with me? You got to share the message with people. And it behooves you to do it. One of the things I like to have, and this should be with all of us, the Holy Spirit will give you a burden for people. Let me ask you a question. Has the Holy Spirit ever give you a burden for somebody? Oh, he'll and I love it, and it drives you to it, and I've had it before where I was thinking about them, and man, I'd weep over them. I was afraid they was going to die without Jesus. I was afraid of that, but we need to have that. We need to have that in our hearts to want to share Jesus with lost people. So let's go back to our text here in Zechariah, because I want to get through this this evening, okay? Now, let's look back now at the verse. We're doing talked about Satan. We've looked at Joshua, the high priest, and he's standing at the right hand, and he's resisting. He's resisting the Lord here in this text, which is what you would expect the devil to do. And the Lord said unto Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan, the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand?" That's why I like it so. "Is not this a brand plucked out of the what?" Isn't that a pretty thing? I like how it reads. And is that not true of all of us that's been born again? We're a brand that he plucked out of the fire. He's the one that done it. Why did he do it? He loved us. He laid his grace on you. It's not anything that we deserved. It wasn't because you're better than anybody else. It's just because of God's grace. It's why. Okay? So he chose Jerusalem. He said that rebuke thee, is not this a brand plucked from the fire? Now he shows Joshua, and remember, this is Joshua who again? Joshua the high priest. Joshua the high priest. Now Joshua was clothed with what kind of garments, beloved? Filthy garments. And the filthy garments is a picture of what? Sin. He was clothed with filthy garments. Now, was that true of us at one time before you was born again? Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the same kind of shape we were in. We were clothed with what kind of garments at one time? Filthy garments. That's where we was at. That's how we was at one time. But notice what the Lord says here. I love this part of it. It says, "And he answered and spake." He talked about the filthy garments, "and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away what? Take away the filthy garments from him. And he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee." Everybody see it? Isn't that a beautiful text? Isn't that a wonderful text? So he says, take away his filthy what? Take away his filthy garments. "And I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee." I still ain't done with it. He goes on and says, "And I will clothe thee with a change of raiment." That's what the Lord does when he saves you. This is a picture from the book of Zechariah, 750 years before Christ. A beautiful picture of salvation by grace. A beautiful picture of it. Take away the filthy what again? Take away those filthy garments. And that's what the Lord does when he saves your soul. He removes your sin as far as the east is from the... And the reason why they use the east and the west is because the east and the west never meet. That's why it's such a wonderful thing. So, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And he said, behold, I've caused thine iniquity. See the picture? The filthy garments pictures iniquity. Beloved, we was all born in sin. Every one of us was. And when you're born in sin, that's the first thing you know. That's the first thing you know. And we stand in need of having, and in order for us to be saved, we stood in need of having a Savior that would remove the debt that we owed. We couldn't pay it. We couldn't pay it ourselves. Jesus paid it. Jesus paid it. And that's what saved me. We sing the song, Jesus paid it. He paid it all. He paid it all, and he paid it all in full. We don't sing Jesus paid it half. We sing Jesus paid it all. If you missed one sin, it'd be sufficient to send you to hell for. One sin would send you to hell. That's why Jesus had to pay for all of them. That's why he had to pay for all of them. And that's what saves your soul. That's the only thing that can do it. And the only thing that can take you to heaven is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can get there. And it's the only way you'll ever make it. Nothing greater than that. All right, let's move down to the verse 4. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him. Oh, I love this part. Watch this. It's a good picture. Verse 4, if you want to mark one in your Bible, underline verse 4 or write it around verse 4. Make a little circle around it so you can remember it. He answered and spake unto those that stood by, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. All God's people see it. Amen. What's that a picture of? Taking away those filthy garments from him. What's that a picture of? Being removed. Removal of your sin. It's a removal of sin. What are we looking at? We're looking in Zechariah. We're in 750 B.C. talking about a picture of sin and the removal of sin. And he answered and spake unto those that stood by. He said, take away the filthy garments from him. When you trust Christ Jesus as your Savior, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know, if you've never have, you need that more than anything else in this world. And when you trust him as your Savior, he removes your filthy garments. And he gives you a change of raiment. Oh, God's people see it. Amen. I like it. Boy, I like that real well. That's what he did. And that's what he done for me. That's what he done for you. I believe everybody here tonight's saved, but that's what he's done for us. He removed those filthy garments. And he clothed us with a change of raiment. You look at the saints of God in heaven, in the book of Revelations. Man, they're clothed with white garment. They're clothed with white garments, clean and white. And it says, which is the righteousness of the saints. And that's imputed righteousness. He imputes to you his perfect righteousness. That's what he's done for us. Would you all agree tonight that that's why we're saved? Amen. That's why we're saved. So he's clothed us with a change of raiment, and the angel stood by. Now let's go to verse 6. And the angel of the Lord protested to Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways. Now after he removed those filthy garments, what should we do after that? We should walk in his ways. You know, when you're born again, you want to. I can remember hating church. When I was a little boy, oh, I hated to go to church. I did. My dad was a Baptist deacon and everything else, but I just didn't want to go. And then I'd look and see who the preacher was, and I'd say, oh, he'll preach all night, and I will never get home. And boy, it was awful. I didn't like it at all. But I'm going to tell you something, beloved. When you're born again, you have a desire to hear God's word. You do. You want to hear it, buddy. I love the scriptures. And I love to hear people preach the scriptures. And it gives you strength and it helps you. Makes you close to Jesus. The closer you get to Jesus, the happier you'll be. Y'all agree? Amen. The happier you'll be. The farther you drift away from him, the more miserable you'll become. All God's people say it. Amen. Wonderful thing. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and God expects you to walk in his ways now. I'm not walking in his ways to get saved, but I'm walking in his ways because I am saved. See the difference? If thou wilt keep my charge, and thou shalt judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, I will give thee places to walk among those that stand by. Verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua. Remember, that's Joshua the high priest. You see it in verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee. For they are men wondered at. That's wondered at by the world. And that's still all the way down to the day, isn't it? God's people are still wondered at all the way down to the day. For they are men wondered at, and behold, I will bring forth my servant, the who? The branch. Who is it? Who's the branch in the text? Christ. That's exactly who it is. Yeah. I'll bring forth my servant, the branch. That's an awesome thing, isn't it? It's talking about Jesus. Jesus, there's always been a plan. There's always been a plan. And Jesus came forth, lived a perfect life, 100% righteous, completely. The only person that was ever perfect was him. Scripture says there's none righteous, no, not one, but the only righteous man was Jesus. And he says, I'll bring forth my servant the branch. And for behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes, and I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. Now watch this in verse 9. He said, I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. When did he do that? 2,000 years ago, when he paid our debt on Calvary's cross. He removed the iniquity of that land in what? In one day. Oh, God's people say, isn't that a wonderful thing? 750 B.C. right here. He removed the iniquity in one day. I like that. It was a complete removal. Scripture says he removes your sin as far as the east is from the west. Yeah. And the reason why they picked that direction is why? They never meet. It's eternal. Completely removal from your sin. That's what he did. He removed our iniquity in one day. Oh, God's people said. That's what he did. That's why we sing the song, Jesus Paid It All. All to him we owe. Sin have left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Book of Romans says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He imputed your sin to Jesus. He imputed your sin to Jesus. And he imputed Jesus' righteousness to you. Oh, God's people say it. Amen. That's what salvation is.
Amen.
That's what it is. So he removed my iniquity. Did we deserve that? No, but that's what he did. Now let's go on down, and I'm going to read 9 and 10 together and we'll stop. For behold, a stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon that stone shall be 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity in the land in one day. And in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. All God's people say it. All right, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and stop with that.